We continue tonight our study on the subject of prayer. Matthew chapter 6, please. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This prayer is generally called the Lord's Prayer. But it is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer will be found in Gospel of John chapter 17. This is the disciples' prayer. You will note that after this manner, he says, this is a prayer that he taught his disciples. It's not the Lord's Prayer. You notice lower down that he said we should forgive. The Lord never had to forgive anybody, for he never did any trespass. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It is the disciples' prayer. Many recite this repeatedly. Are we supposed to recite this prayer repeatedly? In the first place, the prayer in Matthew and the prayer in Luke, though they are the same prayer, they differ. So which one should we recite? We are not called upon to recite this prayer. This is a model, an outline of what our prayers should be. Then this prayer was not in the name of the Lord Jesus. You remember he said, ask in my name. This prayer is not in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is not used in the New Testament after the presentation in Mark, or rather in Matthew and Luke. It is a model, an outline of the things that we should include in our prayer. Six words summarize this prayer. Reverence, rule, obedience, dependence, restoration, and preservation. Those are the six headings under which this prayer comes. Now let us look at this prayer. After this manner, this is how you should pray. Not these words, this manner. Our Father. Oh my. Isn't that nice? When you think of a father, you think of one who provides and protects. Our Father who is in heaven. Oh, we need to remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. The Father is in heaven. And how nice to be able to call him Father. Now, I know we've looked at these scriptures recently, but let's look at it again. You can't look at one scripture too often. I told you years ago, a brother came to New York from one of the Caribbean islands. He gave a series of gospel meetings for 2 weeks, one text, John 3:16, and never repeated himself. Now, until you can do that, you have not exhausted John 3:16. And when we go over these various verses, we can't exhaust them. As a matter of fact, I find that they become more precious. Let's look at the word Father. Mark chapter 14. Verses 35 and 36. Mark 14, verses 35 and 36. He went forward a little, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father. the Lord speaking to God the Father said, Abba, Father. That translated in present day English is an endearing term, Father dear. And there's a brother out in Detroit, and that's the way he always addressed the Lord, or the Father, Father dear. Romans chapter 8, please. The Lord addressed the Father as Father dear, Abba, Father. Romans 8, verses 14 and 15. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Isn't that great? The Lord Jesus Christ addressed the Father as Abba, Father, and we address him the same way. What a relationship. How precious that what he called and how he addressed the Father, I can address the Father the same way. And you get the same thought again in Galatians chapter 3. Abba, Father. What a precious thing. Who art in heaven? Oh my, that's lovely. Who art in heaven? Our Father is in heaven. Doesn't that thrill you? Our protection and our provision comes from the Father, and he's in heaven. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, please. My habits remain the same. I turn to many scriptures. And what I tell you, I do myself. I like to review them. As I often say, you can't go over the same scripture too many times. I have reminded some of the folks here, Dr. Rhodes, some of us knew him. You know what he said to me the first time I met him? He says, I'm glad to meet you. And we sat at the breakfast table and he said, you know, I have been studying the book of Isaiah for 53 years and this morning I saw something I never saw before. Isn't that thrilling? What a book. And so it's so nice as we go over and go over and go over. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verses 1. Our Father who is in heaven. Our Father is in heaven. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verses 1 and 2. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. And as we approach our Heavenly Father, we need to be very careful how we approach him. We need to be very careful what we say to him. Many years ago, I was at a conference in Toronto, and a brother spoke, ministered the word. It was a beautiful message, wonderful message. And then they asked a brother to close in prayer. And the way he addressed the Lord, and the choice of words that he used. When the meeting was over, they all moved by his prayer rather than the message that the brother gave. We need to be so careful how we address the Lord, how we speak to the Lord. If we were invited to President's home, what's the first thing you'd think of? How shall I address him? Do I say Mr. President? Do I say Mr. Bush? Do I say Your Honor? Who do I say? And his wife, how do I address her? How do we address the Lord? He is our Heavenly Father. Then the next clause. Hallowed, honored, respected be thy name. Oh, so often I hear on the radio and on the TV, and there may be some of you here who object to the TV, but I do listen to it. If you wish, I'll tell you what I listen to. And the way they address God. God. Oh my, that's rude. Our Father. Isn't that much better? We need to be careful how we address Him. Isaiah chapter 66. Verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. He is in heaven, and we are on earth, and we do well to address Him with uttermost respect. We do well to consider our attire in His presence. I'm speaking largely of spiritual attire. Our Father, who art in heaven. We go back to chapter 6 and the next thought. Hallowed be that thy kingdom come. Oh my. Did you ever pray for the Lord, for the Father's kingdom to come? What is the Father's kingdom? What is it going to be like? 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 15. The Father's kingdom. I wonder what it's going to be like. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Verses 24 and 25. Thy kingdom come, the Father's kingdom. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 15. Then cometh the end, when He, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. That's when the Father's kingdom is going to come. When the Lord delivers His kingdom to the Father. I wonder what the Lord's kingdom is like. He's in heaven. John chapter 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I wonder what that place looks like. And this is the kingdom that He's going to give to the Father. 1 Corinthians, please. Chapter 2. What is the kingdom that the Lord is preparing now to give to His Father? What is it like? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. What's the kingdom going to look like that the Lord is preparing? This verse says we have never seen anything like it. Can't even imagine what it's going to be like. Chapter 12, please. Chapter 12. What is the kingdom going to be like? This kingdom that the Lord is preparing to give to His Father. What is it going to be like? Chapter 12. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. And verse 4. Well, let's start at verse 2. I knew or know a man in Christ over 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such a man was caught up into the third heaven, paradise. I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Verse 4. He was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not possible for man to utter. That's the better translation. Your translation is different. Paul was in the third heaven and heard inexpressible words, words which you cannot put into human language. There are no languages, human languages, that can describe what he saw. Doesn't that make you feel good? With all the literary giants we have around, and these fellows can't put together enough words to describe what Paul saw. That must be something. I have a little piece here. Let me see if I can find it and read it for you. Oh, it shouldn't be that far away. Inexpressible. Oh, here it is. Here is what one human being said and how he tried to describe it. We might possibly conceive of a place where the brightest colors, the sweetest music, the finest raiment, the loveliest flowers, the costliest furnishings exist, but all such are dimmed into insignificance in the light of reciprocal love that we're going to see in heaven. Who do you think wrote that? You know him. Dr. Charles Rhodes. He wrote that. Words down here cannot describe what we're going to see up there. Don't you want to go there? Maybe you are not, but I'm kind of tired of being down here. Time to go. I've seen and heard enough. Listen to the news every day, and there's more shooting, more killing. You talk about Iraq. Well, what about right here in this country? Killing, and not people, not adults, little children going to school with guns and shooting people. I like the phrase in Revelation chapter 22. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Take us away from this place. And take us to that place that words cannot describe. Human language cannot describe what we're going to see in heaven. That's wonderful. Then the next expression there, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The kingdom that the Lord is preparing to present to his Father, the Father's will be done. I like that. Well, you can't get the government and the rulers to get together on anything. You're trying to get together a European constitution there, and two nations won't agree. Trying to get together something to do with the Social Security in this country. And the two parties can't agree. And wherever you turn, there's disagreement. Wars, rumors of wars, contention, disruption. Oh, but in the Father's kingdom, it's going to be so nice. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's will, not everybody's will, his will. Now, I know we've talked about his will recently. But again, I say, let us look at a few scriptures related to the will of God. My notes are trying to get away from me here. A few scriptures related to the will of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you remember the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, not my will, thy will. And he was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted the Father's will to be done. And I'm so happy to know that in that home that the Lord is preparing to give to the Father, God's will is going to be done. As I have said, the rulers down here can't agree. They don't trust each other. I was studying the UN recently, and I was amazed. You think the UN is one unified body with everybody getting along? Why, there's more subterfuge and dishonesty in the UN than you can imagine. But up there, the Father's will be done. Thy will be done. And we look at the next point. Give us this day our daily bread. Not tomorrow's bread, this day. We depend upon the Lord for our daily needs. Not for the... Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't prepare and shouldn't arrange for next week. Doesn't mean that at all. But it means that we are to concern ourselves today with the needs of today and do those things which are suitable for today. Give us this day the needs of today. You remember with the manna in the book of Exodus? They went and gathered the manna every morning. And what happened to the manna, to the fellows who gathered more than they needed? It smelled. It decayed. Give us this day the needs of this day. And I tell you this, our needs for one day are plenty. We need to look not so much for tomorrow, the needs of today. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness. Have you ever heard the expression, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget? Ever heard that? That's not forgiveness. The Lord doesn't forgive that way. Let's look at a few scriptures and see how the Lord forgives. Leviticus chapter 5, please. How does the Lord forgive? Leviticus chapter 5. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 10. He shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner. The priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he has sinned. It shall be forgiven him. That's God speaking. How do you think God forgave him? Halfway? Three quarters? Total. Verse 13. The priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin that he hath sinned in one of these. It shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest's meal. Verse 16. He shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. The priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of trespass offering, and shall be forgiven him. And you read that all through Leviticus. When God forgives, it is totally and completely forgiven. Numbers chapter 14, or for the sake of time, Psalm 32. Forgiveness. We need to learn to forgive. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and forgiven by God. And when he forgives, it is completely forgotten. And in Jeremiah, you read, not only does he forgive, but he does not remember. Let me pause here.
From time to time we hear a speaker say that God has cast our sins into the lake of forgetfulness. God doesn't forget. We forget because we are weak and human. To forget is a failure. God says, I will not remember. Try that one day. Try deciding that I am not going to remember a certain item. Try it. See how much success you have. Only God can say, I will not remember. And when he forgives, he does not remember. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. And again I said, I ask, you try not to remember something, and it'll come up before you all the time. The Lord says, I will remember, I will forgive, and remember, not forget, remember no more. Book of Amos, please. Chapter 7. Verses 2 and 3. It came to pass when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. By whom shall Judah arise, Jacob arise? He is small. Verse 3, the Lord repented for this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Divine forgiveness. And there are several other chapters. The time moves fast when you get up here. Something happens to that working there in the watch. Seems to go a little faster. We are to forgive. Matthew 18, verses 20 and 21. We as believers are to forgive. Matthew 18, verse 20. Rather, verse 21, I'm sorry. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? That's a goodly number of times to forgive somebody, huh? Seven times? He repeats the act seven times. You figure, well, he doesn't really mean what he's saying. But look at the next verse. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 490. When somebody offends you and you forgive him, you start counting and see when you get to 490 times, then you can stop forgiving him. I doubt that they would ever do that, that we would ever get to 490. We'd get tired of the whole matter and forgive him anyway. But we as believers are to forgive one another. But there is one thing that we are not to do. Matthew chapter 18 again. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children and all that he had, and payment be made. Pretty firm, pretty strict, isn't it? The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Isn't that nice? All those talents he forgave. But let's read on. But, verse 28, the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. He was forgiven 1,000. He was only owed 100 pence. He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. How unfeeling. How heartless. He's forgiven much, and this man owes him, and he's so cruel. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? His Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. A man forgiven much, and yet he would not forgive the fellow who owed him much less. And so with us, we are to forgive one another. Completely forgive. As I have mentioned before, there's the old expression, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. We have to forgive and forget altogether. Again, Matthew 6. Lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? You praying to God and ask God not to lead you into temptation? Does God lead people into temptation? Something's wrong. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 13. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. God cannot be tempted, and neither does he tempt anybody. But you know what God does? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. He doesn't tempt us. He doesn't tempt us, but he does something else. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Did God tempt Abraham? Now look up the word there and you'll find that means God tested Abraham. And he tests us. And when we pray not to enter into temptation, we are praying that we don't fail the test. You remember that the Lord, speaking to the disciples, said, pray that you enter not into temptation, that you don't fail the test. Later on, the test came, and what happened? What do we read? They all fled. He tests us. And we want to be careful that we don't fail the test. 1 Peter chapter 4, please. We don't want to fail the test when we are tested and tried by our Heavenly Father. First Peter chapter 4. Now, I should have... You just keep First Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read from James 1 and 12. I'm going to read James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man that endureth testing. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised. We are to endure the testing. Abraham was tested. Did he pass? Your only son, whom you love, I want him. Did he give him? Yes. The idea is that we are, when God tests us, not tempts us, when he tests us to prove us, we are to submit to his testing. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happened unto you. But rejoice. Oh my. Isn't that something? The Lord says, when you're tried, get happy. Rejoice. We tend to do just the opposite, don't we? We are tried. I have this problem. Oh my. And we start feeling sorry for ourselves. Start having pity parties. The Lord says, when that happens, rejoice. He's testing us. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now note, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. If we endure the testing, happy are we. Was Abraham happy when he was willing to offer up his son? He was. And of God, the glory of the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now, let none of you suffer as a murderer. As an evildoer, when we are tested, we go and have our way and do wrong. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into testing for fear that I may fail. And when the time of testing comes, don't lose heart. Trust in the Lord and he will bring you through. Oh my. Conclusion, Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Speaking again of the Heavenly Father. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Isn't that a nice way to conclude a prayer? His be the kingdom, the glory, and the power. I feel sure that that is a prayer of every one of us present here tonight. The disciples' prayer. The things that we are to learn from that prayer. And might we sing in closing, please? 498. Give us this day. I need thee every hour of the day. This is one of my favorite hymns. When I was a boy, we had a man. He was a cripple, had a good tenor voice, and used to sing along in the streets, hold out a little cup to collect whatever they might desire to give him. And this was one. This song impressed me. I need thee every hour. We need the Lord every day. give us this day until the time comes when the kingdom shall be given to him and we shall be with him forever and ever. In a place that words cannot describe. I tell you again, I'm looking forward to that. I want to see that place. No words in human language can describe what we're going to see up there. You don't look happy about it. Well, I feel good about it. Now, being a little older than you are, I've seen enough down here. I'm ready to go. I want to see it. $498. Ask again, as I often ask, aren't you glad you saved? Little Nathan says yes. I think we're all glad we're saved. And look forward to the time when the Lord is going to give the kingdom to the Father. And we're going to see things there and hear things there that human language cannot describe. That's going to be something. Meanwhile, we are here. Let's serve him. Let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, with joy, we joy and we bow in thy presence. We give thee thanks for salvation. We give thee thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we give thee thanks for the future when we shall be with thee throughout eternity. Meanwhile, we are down here. May we live for thee, trusting thee every day. Again, we say there are those who would like to be here and by reason of circumstances cannot be here. Administer to them, we pray, their portion. Bless us now as we are about to dismiss. Take us each to our respective places of abode in peace and safety. And the praise, the honor, the glory will be thine. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.